use your own creative ideas and what your Facebook app's actually going to do. My name is Jim Zimmerman. I'm CTO of Thuzi. You may have heard of us before. We did that Bloomin' Onion campaign for Outback a year and a half ago. They've done a case study on it, and it seems to keep coming up in some of the marketing stuff still. But it was basically a coupon app that we did in Facebook. So that's kind of how we started about a year and a half ago. We also deployed it to Azure. I'm now an Azure MVP. I used to be an ASP.NET MVP for about 5 years and moved into Azure because I mostly just do Azure now and web development. So anyway, I'm going to go over FacebookDevelopment.net. I'm going to go over a little bit of history. And I'm going to try to get through the demos as quick as I can and so that we can have some questions afterwards. Feel free if there's something right in the middle that you want to chime in on. I'll go ahead and repeat your question and try to answer it. Okay. All right, so I started Facebook development in 2007, believe it or not. And I can't remember what toolkit I used, but it was one that, you know, I don't know if CodePlex was even around then. I think it was, but I used some toolkit, and all it could do is get the user's information. But it was cool enough to see that, oh, I can build a little iframe in here and build a web app. So I started playing around with that. Then I worked with the Facebook Developer Toolkit. Did anybody use that in the past? Okay. I got added to the toolkit about a little over a year ago to kind of help fix a few things that were breaking because we had a couple of live apps that were running in Facebook. And you know, went in there and added a few properties that needed when there was one day, I think a year ago in April. Every app that was using Facebook Developer Toolkit broke. And it was because Facebook made one change, and they changed the user info, and they moved the high school node up a level, or they did something. So the serialization broke. Everyone that was using the .get info, you know, broke, basically. So, and, you know, the Facebook Developer Toolkit, while it was really good, it was very useful at the time, because that's pretty much all that was out there, it became very hard to maintain, okay? Because the biggest fault is trying to go this typed wrapper approach with a dynamic back end, right? Because what happens is, you know, they make a simple change, and in their world, when they make a change in the back end, if you have a dynamic language on the front, it doesn't just break everything. You know, you may be missing a property or whatever, but it's not going to break your whole system because you're not serializing to a type, okay? So then came the Facebook C# SDK. So the idea behind this was after going through the pain of the toolkit and seeing that we were going to start writing a lot more apps, I started looking at, you know, with C# 4 that came out, is how could I use dynamic to use this? It seemed like it would be much easier to maintain. And then, you know, when Facebook added new features, we're not having to you know, go add new typed objects every time Facebook does a rev. And, you know, by the way, Facebook pushes out once a week on Tuesdays, okay? So this actually becomes a real problem, especially if you're trying to do something that's in beta in Facebook. It's not really that well documented yet, so you don't really want to put it in your toolkit, and you don't want to write typed wrappers around it, but you need a way to talk to the REST services to get that data. So dynamics seemed like the natural fit. And, you know, I use a lot of the Facebook JavaScript SDK as well in Facebook and outside of Facebook because there's a lot of power of using that JavaScript SDK because it talks directly to Facebook from the client's browser. So there's no server overhead of you talking to Facebook and then relaying it back and all that. So, you know, I'm here to talk about the C#, but I also want to mention that the JavaScript SDK is very useful for a lot of scenarios that you definitely want to look at. So, you know, we decided to map it to dynamic, and in the past it was very poorly documented. Facebook was just, you know, I don't want to say too many bad things, but it was very frustrating because, you know, we would find undiscovered features or undiscovered bugs, and it became very frustrating. Then this gentleman, Doug Purdy, some of you may have heard of him, he took a job at Facebook, I think, in September or August of last year, and he's head of developer relations. Now, and he used to do a lot of OData stuff here, among many other things. He was a Microsoft evangelist for, like, I think, 11 years. Anyway, yeah, so he's director of developer relations at Facebook, and he's created this thing called Operation Developer Love. And they put a post out every week, what bugs they fixed, what bugs were created, and they're really trying to keep on top of this, right? Because they realized that, you know, with almost 600 million users, this has become a huge platform. So if they're going to become a platform, they have to stabilize, they have to become more one with the developer, so that it makes our lives easier, makes their lives easier. Still, they fix, I think they said, they fix about 15 to 20 bugs a week, but 30 are recorded. So you can see that it kind of goes like this. But they're doing a really good job. I have to commend them on that. And you know, everything's getting a lot better. So I'm going to switch here real quick to kind of show you what the documentation looks like now. This is that RockMail browser. Anybody have seen this? This is like the Facebook browser. It's pretty cool. It's got Facebook basically embedded on the left and Twitter on the right and all that. And it's sitting on top of Chrome. Anyway, how many of you have looked at this documentation? Okay. For those of you that haven't, this is kind of where you need to start. Now, I don't mean kind of, this is where you need to start, because you need to understand what all of this does. I mean, there's Graph API, there's Facebook query language, there's all these advanced topics, things that no toolkit's going to do for you, okay? Especially one that's trying to adapt to theirs, because they can add a field here. You know, we have graph.facebook.com/me. They have first name, last name. They could add middle name, and maybe that's relevant to you, maybe it's not. But if they do add it, this is where you need to find where they added it, not in toolkits, or at least in ours, because we're not in the business of adding typed wrappers to every single thing they do here, for very good reason, because of, in the past, we got burned. But as you can see here, there's quite a bit of documentation. There's you know, it's the Graph API, there's social plugins. How many people have Facebook accounts? Okay, everybody. Wow. How many people have email? So as you can see here, this is when, and I'll go through the debugger here, and you can see some of the stuff that we get. But you know, this is all the information that we can read about you if we ask for the proper permissions, right? You know, everything from picture, your friends, you know, if you own pages. Your photo albums, events, your inbox. If you give us the inbox permission, we can read all your mail. Right. Now, if an app asks you for that permission, you need to really question why they're asking that. It's usually an offline app that's probably checking your mail or something. Yeah. Yeah, so he's asking about read friend list, and this could be one of those documentation things. You know. Again, it's, you know, it feels, you know, when you're developing for Facebook, it feels very hacky, and that's what's kind of fun about it, if you like that type of thing. If you're into development that's always concise and, you know, clean, and it's always going to work perfect every time, then don't do Facebook development. Okay. It's, you know, it's not like that at all. Okay, so, and we'll go through some more of the API stuff here, but I wanted to kind of pause and show you guys that. So, the C# SDK, as I was saying, you know, started off with the Facebook Developer Toolkit. There's been several C# frameworks in the past. I think there's another one out there in CodePlex that's getting some usage too. And again, they're doing more of the typed wrapper approach, which does work for some things. It's just that if you need to do everything in Facebook, you know, it's kind of better to kind of go the more dynamic way, in my belief. So about a year ago, I was looking on CodePlex and I was researching C# Dynamic, and I was seeing, okay, is there any libraries out here, anybody doing anything with this type of idea? And I found a gentleman by the name of Nathan Totten, and he's one of the leads on the project. This worked with us, and I saw that he was, I downloaded his code, and then I looked at my code, and he was using the same dynamic REST library that I was from Nikhil, who also had put that on CodePlex. And it was funny, because I was looking at his code and mine, I'm like, wow, this is very similar. Okay, he's got the same idea. So I called him, and he's like, yeah, I happen to be looking for a job. So I flew him down, and then we started the project. And so, you know, we both had been burned in the past from type frameworks. You know, what I'm going to show you, some of the demos I'm going to show you today are, you know, why Dynamic is so cool with Facebook. And if you look at their, if you look at all their documentation, it's all in JavaScript or PHP. Okay. So if you're going to follow what they do, which is what you should do, because they're the ones that are pushing the envelope on your features, you kind of need to understand how Dynamic works. Otherwise, you're going to be asking questions on the Facebook forums about toolkits that they have no idea what you're talking about. And this used to happen with the other toolkits. That, you know, people would ask, well, when I say .getUserInfo, it's breaking. And they would respond, what are you using? There's no .getUserInfo. We don't even understand what you're saying. So so it is important to understand, you know, why they chose the way to do it and how you can adapt to it. Okay, so here's the main developers for the C# SDK. As I mentioned, Nate Totten, Prabir Shrestha. Sorry, Prabir, if I mispronounced your last name. Jay Kimball, he did a lot of the Windows Phone 7 and Silverlight samples and some other samples in here. And then, of course, me, when I have time, I get to play around with toolkits like this. So, that's pretty much it for the slides. I mean, I'll go through similar slides, but I'm going to try to get through like probably 6-7 demos now, kind of get you to understand how this stuff works. And then, again, if you have any questions on how this works, I'm not going to go through a tutorial on how to create a Facebook app. I expect you can just go do that yourself in the documentation. It's very simple, you know, create Facebook app, you know, add your callback URLs and that. I'm just here to show you how to use the C# SDK for this, okay? And I'll try to slow down when I talk. They have Red Bull out there. I had one. So. Okay. Everybody see the code? I try to increase the font so that it's better. Okay. So when you go download the C# SDK, there's a bunch of samples in there, and basically I'm going through those samples with you right now so that you understand, you feel comfortable later, you go look at them and you want to understand how this works. You'll be using the same stuff I'm doing now. I'm gonna add some stuff so you kind of get some core concepts behind it, but basically most of our samples is, again, how do you authenticate, how do you get permission? Because once you understand those two things, then it's up to your creative mind to create whatever you want to do with Facebook. Okay, so let's get started here. Make sure my servers are not going. Okay. Now, notice when I clicked about, it went to Facebook. Okay. The reason it did that is because this canvas authorized here. Okay. Now, this canvas authorize is an attribute that you put on an MVC action, and there's other ways to do this with, you know, like I said, web forms, Windows Phone, all that stuff that I'll show you, but that just did that by putting that attribute on there. So I'm going to go ahead and log in. Now, Facebook has a bug right now with test users. So when you set up test users, you can test your apps without accidentally viraling your app, right, which is actually an important concept to understand. Their test users are broken right now. They started breaking on Friday for some reason. So I'm using my live account. So if you see chats like that, yeah, I might as well say, hi, honey. Okay. Better turn that. Okay, I turned it off in Chrome, but I didn't turn it off in IE. Okay, so this is the permission that you get. The only permission I ask for is user about me. So it's just asking access my profile information. And I'll go ahead and hit allow. And let's go to apps. All right, awesome. So let me change my settings. Okay, so this is what the app settings look like, and I gotta update these real quick because I was going through demos earlier. Go ahead and save these changes here. So in here, what's important to understand here is the call canvas URL, and that's the URL that I was just on. Okay. So when I go here, browser appears to be offline. I think I'm dropping. So it says my name, okay. Big deal, right? Let's get this back in debug mode so you guys can see what's actually going on here. Okay, so pop in the debugger here. We have a Facebook web client that understands that, okay, you've been authenticated. There's an auth token there for us to pass it back to Facebook REST services so I can get information about you. But I'm looking to get as much information about you as that you allow me to get, which is why we ask for these different permissions, okay? So the one that most people normally get is this me, okay? And that's what I've shown you in documentation. If we look at this result here, I just want you guys to see, that's my real account. Basically, you know, it's got my name, first name, last name, you know, linked to what my Facebook profile is, what I said about myself. Thank God I love kids because I have four of them. From Iowa, I live in Tampa. I'm male. My time zone. Last time I updated my profile. Okay, so this is the basic information that we get about you when we say about us. And notice I have dynamic here. So result.firstname, the way that you know, there's no IntelliSense in here, okay? So for those of you that like IntelliSense, that's gone, sorry, but that's the way it works. If we go to the user, this is how you know what the properties are right here. First underscore name, last underscore. So it's actually fairly simple to where you can just add whatever you want right to here, say result dot whatever. So we'll go ahead and hit play, return view. Okay, and so it says, hello, Jim Zimmerman now. About, there's the view data that was passed. Okay, very simple. That's how you get started, that's how you authenticate. Okay, so I think while I'm in here, I'm gonna kind of move I'm going to move into some more scenarios on how I can get more data right now while we're here. And then I'll show you how to authenticate and all the rest of the things. I think it's important to just do it here. So let's say I want to get some more information about you, like, for instance, if you have a significant other. Okay. So I'm going to go here, and I'm going to look up Advanced Topics, FQL. Okay. So now that we've authenticated, we can query the graph, we can query FQL. FQL is like, it's called Facebook Query Language, and it's similar to SQL, and it's actually very similar to MySQL. The syntax is very, very similar. And if you look here, you can see that here's a sample, select username or friend in select UID. So here's a subquery. So let's take this. Wrap on my end. fb.query. Okay, and I'm going to pass in that. Fine. Let's call it FQL result. Okay. So now run that query. Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay. So these are all of my friends. Okay. Now, we can see information about them, and it looks like from my query, I'm just selecting the user ID, the name, and their picture. Okay. So if I didn't have any friends, it would only get me, but I do, so it gets these. Okay. So that's straight from their documentation. Okay, and the reason I show you that is because this is going to help you get at some scenarios where you don't really understand how to get, right? So go ahead and stop that. Now what I'm going to do is I want to try to find my significant other. Okay, so user. Okay, so this is the property, significant other ID. Okay, so I'm going to get my name, my picture, and I'm also going to get a significant other Facebook ID. Where UID is me. Okay, and it's all in the context of the query. So play again. Now, does anybody think I'm going to get the Facebook ID of my significant other? Show hands. Does anybody even know? Good question. That's why I want to see if anybody knew that. So what he asked was, did I ask for the permission to get that? No, I did not. So what's going to happen here, I'm going to go ahead and hit play here. And I look at the result. And notice significant other ID, it's probably hard to see, is null. Okay? Now, the reason it's null is because I didn't ask you the permission to see if you have a significant other, let alone what their Facebook ID is. I don't know because I have a significant other. So I haven't tested it where I don't have a significant other yet. And hopefully I will never test that scenario. Okay, so now I need to find the permission to get that, okay? So I conveniently have the permission set up here. There's a lot of permissions, and it's very granular, and it's because Facebook wants to let the user pick what they want to share, which is very important. It used to be, it was just kind of like all or nothing, and, you know, it scared people off, and, you know, so now they've made it very granular. Let's see, we have user relationships and user relationship details. Okay, so let's just see if it's this one, user relationships. Oh, I'm gonna stop the debugger here. Okay. Start this again. Go back to my really cool looking app. Oh, didn't go in the debugger because now it's prompting me, oh, hey, there's a new permission on this app. that they want to ask you for. And it's access my family and relationships. Okay. I'll go ahead and allow that for this app since I wrote it. I'll go ahead and run that FQL. And then boom, there's my significant other's Facebook ID. Do not write that down. Okay, so now I have that. Okay, so let's say I want to get her picture as well. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and make this, go ahead and copy and paste this. Okay, and I'm going to call that wife result. And I don't need her ID because I already have mine. And then let's just do a string.format. So I'm going to get me, and I'm going to get my wife. Nope. Okay. Is that? Yeah. No. I forgot to. I always forget. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and do this. Oh, now it's a JSON array. Okay, now what that means is when you look at this result, I want to get the first item there, okay, because it's a JSON array. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop. I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to go ahead and just do like that. Now, you know, if I was writing code, I'd probably want to check to see if it's null. What's that? Okay, here. Okay, sorry, I have a bunch of people talking. Right? Yeah, I forgot to put the bracket zero. See, that's why I have you guys here. I'll get through this. I was actually coming up with this demo on the plane, something useful that I could show my wife in the video, because you'll see here in a second. Let me show her. Okay, we'll go ahead and put that up. Okay, so there's now my wife's information, okay? So now, I'm going to go ahead and create another dynamic object. Let's call this photos equals new expander object. Okay. I'll do photos dot husband equals FQL results dot. Now, I know there's people in the room here that are like, oh my God, he's just creating variables and there's no IntelliSense at all. It's actually very powerful to be able to do this stuff. Let me pass last photos to my view. I'll go ahead and add a model, a dynamic. Did I spell that right? Okay, now, in theory, I should just be able to say model dot husband. And since it's a picture, I need to do image source. See, she'll love this here. Love her for letting me come here. Okay, so let's see if this works first time. Never works first time, but let's see. Okay, this looks right. We'll look at my dynamic view and see if the two images are in there. There we go. So maybe you could use this to put a card, make a pretty card, and then post it to her wall. And I don't know. There's a lot of things that you could do. But I figured this would be a good example, and my wife would get to see it. Double win there. So. Okay, so I'm going to get through the rest of the demos and then try to have some time for questions later. It looks like we got about, are we 50 minutes or 60 minutes? Does anybody know? It's 60? Okay, good. Perfect. Okay, so I'll get through the rest of the demos, then we'll have some time for questions. I'm sure you guys have some. Okay. So now to keep me on track, I was going to jump around here. Okay, we'll go with okay, now how many, make sure it's right, how many people use web forms at work? Or, okay. Wow, more than I thought. How many use MVC? Okay, so a little bit more MVC. It looks like some of you have to use both, which probably is the norm, I guess. You have old web forms projects and then you have new MVC projects, right? So my suggestion would be to use MVC if you're going to do a new Facebook app. It's much easier. Much more flexible. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and kill Cassine here for the MVC, and I will go ahead and launch this one. Okay, so here. I'm using the same Facebook app, by the way, so I didn't have to change a bunch of stuff. I don't know if I'm in debug mode or what here. Oh, it doesn't like that I killed the Cassini. Okay, looks like we'll have to start over here. So I am in web forms, right? Okay, so you see here the same hello world, but, or hello Jim. But here, instead of an authorization attribute, we have what's called a canvas authorizer. And this is the same concept, but you pass your permissions to the canvas authorizer. And this is what you use in everything else but MVC. Okay. And if it's authorized, you know, show the Facebook content, and then it goes through here. And I don't think I need to step through each one of these, but you kind of get the idea where we're still doing the get me, and then, you know, it still passes back dynamic, and then you know, myinfo.name or .first underscore name, all the same concepts apply across the board. So, you know, and then it's just binding the label name or whatever. It's been so long since I looked at web forms. So that's pretty much it for web forms, but the settings are the same in web forms as it is in MVC. You gotta, you know, put the Facebook settings in your web config and then add some of these handlers. Now, how many of you use NuGet at all? Okay, use NuGet when you use the Facebook. Okay, so just do install package, Facebook. It'll set it all up for you. It'll even add all this stuff to your web config. Okay, it saves you a lot of time. And then set up your app, put your app IDs in there and everything. Okay, so that's web forms. Very, you know, again, very simple. Let me jump into Windows Phone, because this is different. You know, it doesn't have a web config. It's, you know, it's a different concept. Let's see here. Okay, so I got my same app ID, and I'm asking for that same permission. I'm going to go ahead and, yeah, I got my breakpoints good. I'm going to show this to you in the emulator. What I am going to do, though, just so you can see the allow, since I'm using the same app across all of these, that's why I didn't have the allow on the web forms one, because I'd already allowed it, okay? So what you need to do is to go to your app settings and remove it. So then now I've removed that app. Now when I go through this demo, it should ask me for the allow. Let's see where that emulator went. Okay, it's coming up. Right. Yeah. So the question is, if the user goes in and removes a very specific permission, like, okay, I still want to use this app, but I don't want you to have my friends list anymore, right, is what you're asking. What, from your own account? Yeah. I mean, well, it doesn't remove them from the user because you still have access to that. But if the user removes a permission, and then they come back to your app and you're still asking for that permission, they're going to be prompted again. They won't be able to get into your app. Okay, so. Okay, so I got the breakpoints in here. It's checking to see if I'm logged in. Okay, I'm going to explain that hack in a second, but let me, here, FN up. It took me a while to figure out how to make that keyboard go away. I know. I have to change it after this. Stupid testing. I was wondering if anybody would catch that. I know, it's recorded. I know, that's why I have to change it afterwards. And then my test account's broke, so I was going through all this last night. Oh, I got to use my real account. Okay, so there's a hack in here, and I have a friend in the room, Kevin Wolf, who's done some Windows Phone 7 stuff with Facebook, and I think he would like this hack. The problem is that this allow screen here, if you don't, for some reason, Facebook doesn't recognize this as a, I don't know, they don't recognize it as the proper browser for what the size needs to be. So if I don't have this hack, which I'm going to show you, you don't see the allow. It's off the screen. So you end up having to use like the WAP allow, which looks ugly. And you know, there's a lot of reasons behind all this that I won't get into, but it's important to understand why we did this. So what we're doing is when we get that HTML from Facebook before we put it in that browser, we actually invoke some JavaScript against it, against their CSS, and then move the allow up. Okay. So it's pretty hacky, but it works, and it's worked for about 6 months now. So if you ever see the allow come off the screen, this is probably, you know, they may have changed their HTML again, or maybe they fixed it. Or if you see the allow jump up, and you're like, oh, this is awkward, this is probably where the problem is, okay? So anyway, there's an element called platform dialog bottom bar, and we just basically, we move that style top up about 20 pixels offset of whatever browser size you have. So it's good to know, and it's good to know especially if your app starts looking weird. So. Okay, so let's get back to where we were. I'll go ahead and allow this. Okay, so notice it's posting to the uiserver.php file, which gets the OAuth. And then there's my successful token that comes back that allows me to use that token to to go to get information about that user. And then there's my ugly, ugly screen that I would never show on a phone. But that's all the data that came from the user about me. Okay? So same app as I've done on all three samples now. Nope. Nope, you don't. I don't think so. I remember finding that I didn't. Yeah, no, you don't have to. Just triple checking that I'm not lying here. App ID. Yeah, no, you don't need it. Okay, so that's Windows Phone. Now, next, Silverlight. Okay, oh, I remember I put this in IIS. So I have, let's see. I have it built here. What happened? We'll try a new tab. There we go. Okay, I'm going to remove it. My beautiful installer here. You have to right click. Install. Okay, now this is a fun one. This happened last night. I don't know when the bug came up, Facebook, but it's coming from their JavaScript. And it's looking for MSLS site mode. Okay? So this just goes to show you things happen within Facebook. I have no idea what this error is. So I'm looking up in the plane last night, I'm trying to fix it, I'm looking, what can I do? And it turns out this MSLS site mode is an HTML5 feature thing, so I don't know what they're doing. Maybe it's something that, you know, I have IE9 and Silverlight 3, I don't know, actually. So I wanted to show that to you guys. Like, I was hesitant whether I was going to show a demo that has a bug in it, but you're going to run into the same thing, so it's good to know. These things happen. Okay, so again, it didn't break the app. It's just kind of an ugly little dialogue. But again, same data that comes back. And if we look at the code, it's pretty close to how it is in Windows Phone 7. Or my Silverlight, yeah. It's a little bit, yeah, it's pretty much the same. You know, you have your async calls and all that, since it is Silverlight, it makes sense. Now, there is different DLLs for these, though. Okay, so we have a Windows Phone 7 compiled Facebook.dll, a Silverlight one, and then a one for the web, one for 3.5 and one for 4.0 for .NET. Okay, so you got to make sure if you run into any weirdness, that's probably what happened. You add a Facebook, the Facebook.dll, and you, let's say you add the .NET 4.0.1 to your Windows phone, it's going to blow up all over the place. So usually that's what's going on. So you just got to make sure you have the right DLLs for Windows Phone or Silverlight. Okay. Now, which other one? I showed that. Okay, here's a cool one. Did anybody like the web matrix stuff that Scott and the Scots were showing? So I was playing with it last night, and so I got this whole thing to work in web matrix, and I actually really like it. I mean, I like MVC3 and Razor, so of course I'm going to like it, but go here. This code's going to look very similar. In fact, it's probably easier if I just show you in Visual Studio, since I can zoom in. This is in the about.cshtml page. Okay. Same thing, I'm doing a new Canvas authorizer. If it's authorized, go get information about me, and then show it here. Okay. Same type of thing. Now, if you want to do this at home, what you do is you do a starter site for, you know, web matrix. Then you have to open it up in Visual Studio. One thing that caught me last night is if you have the run as administrator set on Visual Studio, this does not work. And it drove me crazy. So you have to uncheck the open Visual Studio's admin, then hit Visual Studio, and it'll go ahead and create this this SLN here, right, which makes it so you can open up Visual Studio. Then you just go to the package manager console and then just do, you know, install package and then Facebook. Okay, so that's how you would add it to web matrix. And the stuff they were showing today, you actually could probably just do this in that page admin thing now, which is awesome. You don't have to do it in Visual Studio anymore. So anyway, we'll go ahead and run this one. Let me make sure that I have what that port is. Okay, I don't have it running. Now this is going to blow up because I don't have there's no way that should authorize. Yeah. Okay, and the reason for that is my app was all port 5000 across all of those. For some reason, I can't change the port web matrix. I don't know why, but you know, I figured I wasn't going to spend an hour trying to figure that out last night. So I'm going to go to here, and I'm going to add that port to there so that you guys can see that I can actually run this web matrix in there. What's that? Can I whitelist the IP? The IP has nothing to do with this. No. It's the Canvas callback. So it's whatever your URL is that you're calling back to. So, okay. So here. Now I think I just go about. Hey, it hit the, all right, good. It worked. Sweet. There we go. So with Web Matrix too. Okay, same concept, same libraries, same everything. Now for the final one. Yes. Okay, now this is, how do you put this Facebook app in Azure, right? Now, how many of you run web apps right now in Azure? Like you're live and all that, okay. So this isn't an Azure talk, so I'm not gonna get into the details of this, but basically you just add this web role to your cloud and go ahead and publish it. I'm gonna go ahead and run it locally, okay? When you run it locally, you're gonna run on port 81 usually. So again, I gotta change my settings to my famous test app here. And I'm going to change that to port 81. Save it. And wait for Azure to go ahead and kick up there. Now, I am running this locally. You know, obviously, I'm not pushing it up. And wait for this thing to hang for a little bit here. And since I got the MVC3 app inside of the Azure, so it's home about. That's what it should be. Now let's see if port 81 came up. Okay, that thing is still packaging. No, I don't want to reload it. Oh, it was waiting on that UI thread. Nice. Okay. So we need to do home, about. Okay, I am in the wrong session. Okay. Yeah, so when you log in with a device versus a browser, Facebook will log you out. So what you just saw there is it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're not authorized to even get in here. So that was the error that you just saw. Very cryptic error. Right, that's always dangerous, logging into your account like that. Could be anything right there. Oh, it didn't like my callback. Localhost 81. Am I on 81? Okay, well, who knows what's going on. For some reason, it is not liking this port here. Now, typically, we want to do this when you're testing it, because I've seen problems when you're running on these random ports, especially in the cloud. I think I have to change it to 127.0.0.1. I think that's what I did last night. But regardless, it doesn't matter. I don't want to waste a ton of time there because we only got 5 minutes and I want to take some questions. But when you are running this in the cloud, you will be putting it in your subdomain in staging, okay? So you'll have to put this like gwid.cloudapp.net. And you got to make sure you have like a local staging URL and a production. If you want to test this in the cloud, you have to have that, okay? So since we only have 5 minutes left, I do want to finish this real quick here. Went through all these demos, resources. Okay, so Facebook, sdk.codeplex.com, developers.facebook.com is where you're going to get all the documentation. Stack Overflow tags, that's the best place to get your answers. A lot of the community will answer the questions there. It's very easy to sort. It's very easy to find the answers. Okay, and then for those of you, I'll let you guys write that down. How many of you like Facebook development? Okay. Well, I expected to see a few more than that. Now, do you not like it because of what you just saw? okay, so for those that like Facebook development, and that's what they want to do a lot of their time for work, we're hiring. So I have to get this in there, too. And this is what we wear at work, okay? This is why I wore this. We live in Tampa, Florida. So you like warm weather, you know? Don't like to wear jackets all the time. You know, MVC, JavaScript, jQuery, Azure, you know, any apply. And then that's email jobs@easy.com. So if you guys have any questions, we have a few more minutes left. I do have, with the Azure MVPs, they give us these cards that give you free Azure for a month, basically. It's nice, just come up here and grab them. You get a pass and you can use it for a month. You get like three compute instances, 2 1-gig SQL Azure databases, App Fabric, and you get 3 gigs in and out of bandwidth. So it's actually a pretty good deal if you want to try Azure. It's a good time to try it. So I'll go ahead and take questions, and thanks for coming, guys. Okay, so the question is, how does the application interact with JavaScript SDK? Okay, so you can are you asking about combining the JavaScript SDK and the backend? Okay, so the JavaScript SDK does set a cookie. Okay, you can read that cookie and then pass it to the C-sharp stuff. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is if, let's say, you're doing a completely AJAX-driven app, you need to get that signed request, or that actually that auth token from your JavaScript and pass it to your AJAX calls. Okay? So then when the server side gets it, they see the access token and they use that to go call the graph or whatever you need. But then that's when you ask yourself, should I just call with JavaScript? It depends on what you're doing. Does that answer your question? No. They don't have. So the question is, in the back end of the graph or FQL or whatever you're trying to, the data you're trying to get, is if they have where statements, where this equals, and most of the time they don't. It's just you have to go grab all the data and sort through yourself. You have to get the permission to go get their wall post data first. But yeah. Like in FQL?
Yeah.
You got to look at their documentation. You know, not. I mean, the only reason I don't know is because I haven't done that scenario. Right. Yeah. So it's all trial and error then, unfortunately. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. No. I understand your frustration. Believe me. I mean, we've tried to get so much different data from different things. And, yeah, and the problem is that we don't know either. We go off Facebook's documentation. So, you know, I mean, I hate to say go look at Facebook or go on the forums, but that's exactly what they tell us to do, too. I mean, Stack Overflow is a really good place to do stuff like that, you know, because it goes along with the question and you show some sample, you know. It's not a whole project, but, you know. Right. Well, but the reason that we kind of push Stack Overflow is because CodePlex is even harder. I mean, it's harder to find the answer. Yeah, no, it's all there. It's in the download. Yeah. In fact, I made sure that what I showed you guys was part of the download, just to make sure that we're on par. Okay. Okay, so the question is, what data should you cache or not cache? Well, you know, I mean, again, I hate to say it depends, but, you know, like a friend list is a lot of data, you know, especially if someone's got 1,000 friends. So you don't want to be getting that every request, you know, so I definitely would cache that data. Now, you have to make sure that you read all the data policies, though, because, you know, you're allowed to cache data, but if someone asks to be removed, you have to remove all of their data. So they're very strict about those policies. Yeah. Have some of those grab cards too, if you want. Okay. So the question is if. If you're getting data from about the user and they've now removed a permission, and now you're not getting that data, then it's your responsibility to check for nulls in that request. Because what happens is we're just returning the JSON result dynamically. And so if there's a null there, and you expect that kind of behavior from the user, then you probably should check for it. Yeah. So the question is, let me, I think I heard most of it. When you're checking for their email or Facebook ID?
That could be any property, like what's the last thing that's there.
Yeah. Well, that's, you have to ask for the permission. If you want their email, you have to ask for the email permission. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, and you have a null. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you would have to check to see if that property's null. It will throw, though. I mean, I know what you're talking about. It will throw an exception when you try to access it. So, yeah, I mean, you don't want to try catch each property, but yeah, I know what you're saying. You might want to, if you see this kind of behavior, which you know we've seen on birth date, for instance, that happens all the time. We wrote a wrapper around that for our own code that actually casts it to a real date time and then checks to see if it's null. And we have a whole wrapper that just does birth date for that very reason, right? But that's also why we don't put wrappers in the project, because that's all we would ever do. We'd be constantly writing code with that stuff. So we just do it on a case-by-case basis where we're seeing issues like that one. Yeah. Yeah, unless they remove the data type or add it, or yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, there's hundreds of data types. Oh, yeah. And right now we're using JSON.NET and for the serialization, and there's a few bugs with the dynamic implementation there. So I don't think it's in this one now, but we have our own JSON serializer that'll cast the types for you in dynamic, so that will help actually both these. What you're saying, but it'll help that situation too. I haven't tested it yet. I would assume that it would help a lot. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, all our test users broke on Friday. So, and we were actually at Facebook meeting because we're in the roundtable, or we went to a roundtable. We're a PDC, preferred developer consultant, and we brought that up. And there's a new way. You have to create test users through REST now. And you have to assign them to an app. And that's how you create test users now. It's actually on Facebook. Just type in, just go to the search engine, type in Facebook test users. And I think it's test_user or something like that. And there's whole documentation on how to create them. You can create 100 of them per app. And then you can make them all friends with each other so you can test that whole interaction. So, yeah. We're in the process of trying to automate that as well, because it's very painful. So. Right, yeah. And then I had to use my real account. You know, today, so. Yeah. Okay, so I would... Graph is your first choice.
Yeah.
FQL is always going to be there. REST, stay away from. Now, the REST is because they call it legacy in the thing, but then they add new features to the legacy REST, so it's rather confusing. But we typically go graph first, because that's pretty stable. FQL is very stable, because there's a lot of stuff written off of that that they're not going to change right now, and that's actually using REST. So it's not like... I don't know what their plans are exactly for what they're going to deprecate and what they're not, but I know FQL is not going to go away. So. Well, I guess never know for sure. Yeah.
You mentioned that
right. So let's say you're testing an app and you want to share it, and you have to test the fact that the share posts to your wall. And then you test the virality of that. So if friend clicks, then you want to track the click. And, you know, there's all these things that go into these apps. If you do it on your live account, then you're actually posting it to your 200 friends or how many other friends you have. And then now you just viraled out your test app, and the clients can be pissed, right? So be like, whoa, we weren't advertising this yet. And then all of a sudden people are adding it, and then it's on your test server, it's not even in production. And, yeah, you can link them through the API now. Yeah, in fact, that's the coolest thing they actually added, because before we had to do this whole friend request thing, now you can do it through the API. No, sandbox mode, no one from the outside can see that. Yeah, only developers. The testers become part of the app, so you can see anything. It's actually a much better way, because we've had to make them public before in order for the test users to get to it. So. Yeah. Okay, so there's this new secure Canvas URL that every app you do should have it, actually, because even if it's only 5% of the users or whatever, they're going to have a bad experience that says, you need to switch back to HTTP, insecure, and then, insecure with Facebook app is like a huge issue mentally for people. So always have SSL. It should just be your default deploy now. Right, yeah, they may have written the app 6 months ago. They didn't realize this was coming up. I mean, that's, definitely have SSL. Relatively speaking. I mean, it is for us, but if you don't have a cert, then, and some of these apps, like, they don't even understand some of this stuff. No, it's not a big deal at all. But there's this whole, secure browsing initiative going on with Facebook, and everybody eventually will be SSL. So. To link up your fan page app. Okay, so you don't want the tab to show up, or you do? You can go into, so in app settings, there's, you go view application profile, go edit there, and then make it the company instead of you. That's your answer. Yeah, because you don't want your developers being the developer on some corporate app. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm here till when? Yes. It's complicated. You have to do it all in the back end. You basically have to take their posts and repost it as the page admin, if you will. And you have to have all the permissions set up, and it's not trivial, but there's a way to do it. We actually did that for one of our apps, so I know it's possible. Cool. Well, thanks for coming. You guys are very interactive. That's cool. For especially those of you who are so interactive, at least grab my card in case you ever want to do Facebook development in Florida. I think these are all stuck together.